Well, hello there. Come on in. Make yourself at home. I'm Gary Zimek. Welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. Great to be with you here once again on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you could stick around for the entire time. On the show today, we're going to look at the readings for the Feast of St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence is one of these interesting characters in the church. Today is a feast, and we have different levels of holy days when it comes to the church. Some are optional memorials. That's the lowest level. Some are memorials. Some are feasts, like today. That's a pretty big deal. The only next higher level, the only higher level than a feast, is a solemnity. So a feast is right up there. The feasts of the church are mainly reserved for some of your big-time saints, such as the apostles, John the Baptist, possibly certain events like the Transfiguration, which we just celebrated this Sunday. It's a big deal. St. Lawrence is not one of the better known saints, I would say, in the world. So why does he get a feast? Well, he was thought very highly of by the church. He was a martyr, and you're going to see there are special readings designed for this feast day today. So we'll go over those mass readings. Also, we're going to be joined by Brenton Cordero in an interview that I did on Spirit of the Morning not too long ago. How to Go Beyond I'll Pray For You, a guide to spontaneous prayer. How many times have you run into somebody, they're having a problem, and you say, oh, you know what, I'll pray for you. And what happens? A lot of times you forget to pray for them, but you miss an opportunity. Now, this is not an easy thing. For most of us who are cradle Catholics, we're not used to spontaneous prayer. And that's praying with somebody, using spontaneous words right at that moment. Some people are very good at that, but many people are not familiar or not comfortable doing that. Brenton is a seminarian, and he wrote this online post for Catholic Link about this. And I thought, I need to talk to this guy. Well, the interview was very interesting, and I think you'll learn something from it. If you've always wanted to be comfortable praying spontaneously for somebody, this is going to be a very helpful interview. Even if you don't care about it, it's probably something that you should need to hear, or you should hear, because it will help you. It will help you, and you can help others by doing it. It can be very comforting if you have ever had somebody pray for you. It can be very comforting to be able to have that happen. So if you can comfort somebody in that way, I think it's a good idea for us all to listen to what he has to say. So that's coming up on the program today. Let's begin as we do each day on the show with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Thank you for not only loving us, but for walking beside us, and for sending us the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to dwell in us and to act in us, and to give us inspirations. Help us to be more receptive to your Spirit. Help us to be more willing to act on your inspirations. And help us, Lord Jesus, to always remember your presence. We lift up anybody who is sick, anybody who is lonely, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is dealing with with doubt or despair, anybody who is dealing with any kind of an addiction. We lift up our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We know you're bigger than any problem we can face. Things might look bleak for us at the moment, but to you, nothing is impossible. Help us to remember that each day, Lord, no matter what we face. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion and religious persecution in the world. And Jesus, I ask you to speak through me this day on the program. Give me the words and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of you, Jesus. We go to our Father with these intentions through you, Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, one of the things that sometimes is a little confusing about prayer is we can talk to the Father, we can talk to Jesus, we can talk to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times on this program, I tend to talk to the Father, ask through Jesus. Well, that time I was speaking to Jesus, which we can do. You can speak to any person of the Trinity. That's why at the end I got a little tongue-tied wrapping up, because I forgot that I was speaking to Jesus instead of the Father. It's hard when you can't see them sometimes, isn't it? So relax that you're not alone when you struggle that way, because I struggle with the same thing. Sometimes it's hard. Keep working on it. It does get better. And you know what? We all have good days. We have bad days. Just make sure that you do pray each day. Don't ever not pray. That would be a big mistake to not pray. Keep asking the Lord for the strength that you need to get through each day. Ask for the strength and the grace that you need. And make sure you talk to him every day. If you're concerned about something, let him know your fears, and he will help you. Quick reminder on the program, September the 4th, we kick off Total Consecration Preparation. Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary, the method popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. We're going to do it on the program. You don't need to get a book. I've got a special book that I'm going to use. I'll do all the meditations right here on the show. We'll do that for 33 days right here on this program. So it's not going to cost you anything except a little bit of time each night. If you've never made your total consecration, I strongly encourage you to do it. It will change your life. It changed my life when I did it way back in 2011 for the first time. Letting the Blessed Mother lead you to Jesus is such a great thing. Why? Because we have off days. There are days where we just aren't feeling like it. We get distracted. We're tired. We don't do a good job staying close to Jesus. But when your mom gets involved, things start to happen. And you know, just like Jesus and his involvement in your life, just like the Holy Spirit, just like the Father, the Blessed Mother will not force her way into your life. She waits for you to give her the go-ahead. That's hard for us sometimes because we just want them to take over and do everything for us. That's what we're used to. They're not going to do that. They respect our free will. If we want to ignore them, they'll let us ignore them. And what happens as a result? Well, you're miserable. I've lived that way, so I understand that. You're miserable. Everything seems painful. Life can almost get hopeless at times. Ask for help. They want to help you. Total consecration preparation begins on September the 4th, right here on the program. 33 days straight. We'll do the prep every day. We do a little meditation, give you something to think about. And then on October the 7th, you'll have the opportunity to consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary. I've done it for, I think, 7 years now on the show. We've taken thousands through the process. It's life-changing. It's wonderful. You will never regret it. I promise you that. If you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. While you're at it, check out my website, followingthetruth.com. If you're a worrier and you're interested in a podcast designed just for you, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled is the new podcast, easy for me to say, right, that you can access either daily, weekly, or you can do both, and you can get a weekly video where I'll answer your questions about anxiety. followingthetruth.com is the place to go for all that, or to bring me out as a speaker, which I would love to do. I'd love to speak at your parish as well. Okay, mass readings for the Feast of St. Lawrence. Who was he? He was a deacon and a martyr. He was killed under Emperor Valerian in the year 258. And again, we don't know a lot about Lawrence. I think the tradition holds that he was burned to death. Pretty brutal, right? But I think the important concept when we think about any of these martyrs to remember is that they gave up their lives for Christ. In a sense, we're all called to do that. Maybe not a violent, painful, bloody martyrdom, but you and me, we are called to give up our life for Christ by virtue of our baptism. If we're Christians, we are called, if we're going to do it right, I mean, we could be weak, lukewarm Christians, but if we're going to do Christianity right, we are called to turn over our life to Christ. I no longer live for me, but I live for Jesus. I can do that every day. I can hold my tongue when I want to get mad at somebody. I can go out of myself and step out of my comfort zone and try to do a favor for somebody when I want to take care of myself. There's so many different ways I can do that. I can pray when I don't feel like praying. These are ways that I live, not for myself, but for Christ. Let's look at these readings. And again, these readings were chosen specifically for this feast day for St. Lawrence. First reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having everything you need, all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. A lot of times we get hung up over the fact that we're weak, we can only do so much, I'm powerless, I'm only one person, the world's a mess. You know how it is. We shoot ourselves down. What we're forgetting is that God can use anything we do, multiply it, and bring about great things. I can't control the world. I can't control everybody in the world. If I don't like the fact that people aren't speaking about God in the world, I can't make them. I can't make them do anything. Can't control them. And in fact, when I try to control them, when I try to change the world, I get frustrated very easily. What can I do? I can do what I can do. I can speak about God. I can be nice to people. I can post kind things on social media. You get that? I can do something. I can control my own thoughts and my own actions. Can't control anybody else. Remember that. And don't doubt what God can do with the little that you are able to perform. My little smile, my kind gesture, whatever it is, God can take that and multiply it and literally change the world one person at a time. At the end of your life, you're going to meet the Lord at your judgment. He's not going to say to you, you didn't convert the entire nation of the United States. You didn't convert everybody. So therefore, you're not going to make it into heaven. No, he's going to say, did you do the best with what you have? It's so easy to become overwhelmed. It's so easy to not do anything, to become paralyzed because you don't think you're that significant. Well, you're not. None of us are. But with God on your side, all of a sudden, things change and we become a powerful force. So just like St. Lawrence, who gave up his life for the Lord, do what you can to change the world with God's help. He's on your side. He'll be with you. If he calls you to do anything, he puts you in a difficult situation at work, at school, at home, he'll give you the grace to be able to deal with it. And remember, all you're doing is planting seeds. You're planting seeds. You're not changing hearts. That's for the Holy Spirit to do. All we can do is plant some seeds. And at the right time, we never know the right time, if it's meant to be, the Holy Spirit will take over and do his thing. Remember, we all have free will. So when I'm trying to convince somebody to grow closer to Christ and they don't want to hear it, I can't force them. If God can't force his way into their lives, certainly I can't do it. And I think a lot of times what happens is we start to beat ourselves up and get frustrated. No, just do your job. Just do your job. Plant seeds whenever you can. Psalm 112 is the psalm today. Blessed is the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He shall never be moved. The just one shall be in everlasting remembrance. An evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steadfast, he shall not fear. Till he looks down upon his foes, lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. What are we doing for those in need? That's the question I think we all have to ask. What am I doing, not just financially, not just by sharing my material things, but what am I doing to share my spiritual gifts? What am I doing to share kindness with those around me? It's a tough question. We're all called to do that. And again, you look at the life of Jesus. He didn't just go off to a secluded place and spend all of his time in prayer. He prayed. Yeah, that was really an important part of his life. But he also went out and ministered to those in need. We're all called to do that. So the Lord's going to send certain people in your life, give you certain opportunities that I might not have. Take advantage of what he gives you, because that's what he's calling you to do. I think we lose sight of that sometimes, that the Lord calls us to do something every day. He calls us to help the poor. He calls us to be with those who are lonely. He calls us to maybe encourage those who have become discouraged. We've all got people like that in our lives. Many times they're in our own house. What can I do today to die to myself as St. Lawrence did and to give my life over to Christ and live for Christ? The gospel today comes from John chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." Are you serving Jesus today? Are you serving Jesus? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. Your life, it's that wheat. Are you giving up your life today? You know, let's not think long term, because I think when we think long term, we waste a lot of time when we do that. Yes, over the course of my life, I need to help many people. How about this? Today, what am I doing to live for Christ today? And unless we do that, unless we're willing to say, all right, I give up my wants, it doesn't mean you can't ever do anything for yourself. It means overall, you're the big picture. Are you helping somebody today? Are you praying for somebody? Are you doing something? But if that grain of wheat dies, it produces much fruit. I can hold on to my life. It's like the parable of the 10 talents. The servant who buried the talent in the ground, he was punished. He kept it for safekeeping. He was afraid. Now, if you're afraid to give up your possessions, some of your possessions, to share your possessions, your money with those in need, if you're afraid to share your talents with those in need, if you're afraid to do these things, for whatever reason, then ultimately, when you're judged, it might be a little difficult. Might be a little difficult at times. Keep that in mind. I mean, not at times. It might be a little difficult for you when you are judged. The Lord expects us to do something. And you know, well, here's the tough thing. And I'll be honest. This is not a really easy message. You and me, we are held to a higher standard than somebody who might not have heard any of this before. A lot of people, they're not exposed, or they're not willing to listen, or for whatever reason. Not everybody hears the same degree of message from the Lord. So you and me, you're listening to this podcast. It's not because you love the sound of my voice. You're trying to become a better person. You're trying to get closer to Christ. He's going to hold us to a higher standard. Let's take it seriously. I promise you, giving your life in this way is going to bring you a great amount of peace. It's not going to be horrible. Yeah, you'll have some persecution. You'll have to suffer a little bit. But for the most part, you'll be a lot more peaceful than if you don't respond to the Lord's offer. So remember, we're all called to do something for those around us, just as St. Lawrence did. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, Brenton Cordero, he's going to help us learn the art of spontaneous prayer, more than just saying, "I'll pray for you." Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Mary DeTouris Paust was a multitasker used to mindlessly eating breakfast while reading emails on her laptop. Then, while on a retreat that didn't allow reading, writing, or talking, she was confronted by the dilemma of what else to do during mealtime. That incident forced Mary to eat mindfully, even prayerfully, paying attention to each bite of food and how it tasted. It also led to her book, Cravings, A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God. Mary explained to me, "I took everything off the table, lit a candle, and started to pray before I ate oatmeal. Now I talk about it as my mindful oatmeal, and I still try to do that practice every day, to do everything with that sense of reverence. It makes you full, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual way." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Recently, I was scrolling around on the internet, and I ran across an article, How to Go Beyond I'll Pray for You, a guide to praying with someone spontaneously. This caught my attention because as someone who has been the recipient of spontaneous prayer, I've had a need, I've had people say, hey, can I pray with you right now? I have really benefited from this, but I know that many of us, especially many of us Catholics, struggle with getting the words or having the courage to pray spontaneously. So I invited the author of this article on with us today, Brenton Cordero. He's a seminarian with the Companions of the Cross. He studies at the seminary in Detroit. He joins us now to talk about this article and to share some advice for praying spontaneously. Brenton, good morning, my friend.
Morning, Daddy. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's so nice of you to come on the program on this this dreary Monday here in the Delaware Valley. Brenton, I want to talk a little bit about this practice of spontaneous prayer. You mentioned in the article the common practice for most people is we promise to pray for somebody if they need prayers, and often we put it off to some point in the future, and unfortunately, and I'm guilty of this, we sometimes forget. We sometimes forget to that person, to pray for that person. Why do you think that so many of us are hesitant to pray at that moment, spontaneously, with the person who is asked for prayers?
You know, Gary, I think at the heart of it all, many of us are just a bit apprehensive because we are afraid we might look foolish because we aren't really comfortable or familiar with how to pray with someone spontaneously. So we're not sure what to say, what to pray, whether we should join our hands, you know, all these kinds of things. So I think it's just because it's all unknown to us, we prefer just replying with polite, yes, I'll pray for you, and then that's that,
And I'm guilty of doing that many times, and I do often pray for the person, but sadly, sometimes I do forget. Brenton, in the article, you mentioned that the keys to praying with someone are relying on the Holy Spirit, and I love this, and realizing that it is God and not us who brings about any change in the person we are praying with. You also go on to say it's important that we seize the moment because right then the person is most cooperative with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Talk about that for a little if you could.
Sure. So whenever we pray for someone, whatever ultimately happens is something that happens between God and that person. You know, we're just the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works in that moment.
Right.
And as much as God functions outside space and time, when somebody asks us to pray for them, they are reaching out to us in their need in that moment. And we can allow ourselves to be tools for the grace of God to flow right there in that moment and answer that person's need. So it's very important for us to seize that moment, because truly in that moment that person is crying out from inside for God, whether or not they may truly consciously realize that.
Right, right. And you bring up a very important point, and I know this is a problem that I have. We are often thinking that it's us doing all the work. I might not know what to say, but it's really the Holy Spirit who is active and is who is actually doing the work. You also go into some details in this article, and I like this because you let us know some of the specifics. One big question is, and you address this, what do we do with our hands?
Yeah, I think that's because...
Right, I mean, that's a very valid question because, you know, when I'm praying with somebody, do I touch them? What do I do?
Yeah, because a lot of people feel awkward because... Yeah. They're not sure what to do with their hands in that moment.
Yeah.
And the best approach is often to just be respectful and sensitive to the situation and to the person that you're praying with. If it's someone that we know well enough, then we could go right there and just place our hands on their shoulders, maybe give them a hug and pray in that. But if it's someone we're not too familiar with, it's a good idea to sometimes just ask them, can I place my hands on your shoulders?
Oh,
or can
okay.
I hold your hands?
Okay.
Or whatever, you know, but because there's something in each of us that greatly appreciates that physical contact, you know? And that in some way helps that person to enter deeper into that time of prayer.
And as someone who has had someone pray for me spontaneously when I asked for prayers, and who has laid his hands on my shoulders, I can vouch for the fact that that was very comforting to me. So, yeah, that's a good point, and I'm glad you bring that up. Now, the next question is, and this is the obvious one, what do we say?
Well, what we say is ultimately what the Holy Spirit guides us, right?
Right.
So before we start doing anything, we really have to, we have to do two things. One is we have to quickly assess where the person is in their walk of life.
Okay.
If someone is a faithful Christian, a practicing Catholic, then we have the freedom to pray a bit longer with that person.
Okay.
But if it's someone we're just meeting on the bus or meeting on the street, we don't know where that person is at.
Mm.
And the best thing to do is just keep it short and simple, a minute, couple of minutes,
okay,
tops. And what we say is we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayer. You know, a good way to draw our inspiration for prayer is to tap into our own experiences, to try to empathize with that person.
Okay.
And then pray for each dimension of the situation that they are in.
Mm.
You know, for example, if someone recently lost a job and they're looking for another job, we can relate to that. We know that someone who's lost a job is perhaps feeling insecure, is feeling anxious about their financial security, about their family's well-being, and so on. So we just pray for those things and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to that person in each of those areas of their lives.
And you mentioned in the article that more than being a prayer, our words can also be a source of comfort and strength to the person we're praying over. And that's a really good point. You also mentioned we can never, as you just said, we can never go wrong with keeping things short and simple. You also give an example of someone who has lost their father, possibly. And you actually put the words in the article, and I think that's really good. It's helpful. By the way, we will have this article linked at spiritinthemorning.com. The final piece of this article you wrote is that you answer the question, what do we think? And you mentioned that this is not our time to shine, trying to come up with some eloquent prayers that shift the attention to us rather than God. The focus should be on God. Brendan, what do you mean by that?
Well, I guess it goes back to what you initially asked me, you know, why are people hesitant to pray with others?
Right.
It's because, you know, they're nervous, they're apprehensive and things like that. So we have to be able to block those fears out of our mind. We have to think only about God rather than trying to impress the person we are praying with.
Wow.
Or trying to come up with these almost Shakespearean prayers to leave them in awe and wonder. No, that's not the goal.
Mm.
The goal is to be able to minister to that person and allow God to enter into that moment. So when we say, when we ask, what do we think? Well, we don't think too much except to raise our minds to God and allow Him to speak through us, keeping our focus on Him, His healing power, His love, His grace, and His mercy.
Well said, well said. And to be completely honest, I have been in that position where I wanted to pray for somebody spontaneously, and I would stop myself thinking that I don't know if I can get the words right. And then really the focus is on me as opposed to letting the Holy Spirit work through me. Brenton, this was a great article. I am going to have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com, and I encourage everyone listening to check this out, because the power of spontaneous prayer is just unbelievable, and it's something we should all focus on. Brenton, if we want to follow you online to see some of the other articles you've written, is there a place we can go?
Well, if you visit the Catholic Link website, you should be able to find all my stuff there under section which has my name on it, because that has all the articles tagged to that particular author.
Well, my friend, keep up the good work, and we'll keep you in our prayers as you go through your studies at the seminary. I want to thank you for making the time on this Monday morning to join us on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right.
Holy Thursday Mass commemorates the institution of the ministerial priesthood, but the Gospels don't mention anything about Jesus ordaining the apostles. Where does the Catholic Church get off thinking this? There are two clues. First, Jesus commands the apostles to do this in Luke 22:19. The Greek verb for do, poeo, can be translated literally as offer in the sense of offering a sacrifice. as it is in Leviticus 9:7 of the Septuagint. Since offering sacrifice is a priestly function, then this command seems to suggest the apostles were priests. A second possible clue is the washing of feet in John 13:5. This calls to mind Exodus 40, where Aaron and his sons had their feet washed as part of their priestly ordination ceremony. So the Catholic claim that Jesus wasn't the only priest at the first Mass is not unbiblical. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
All right, we're back, and believe it or not, I'm completely out of time. Thanks for listening to the show today. God bless you, and God willing, we'll see you again tomorrow. See ya. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.